He's a pop drummer. I'm an Indian classical dancer. He had tons of questions for me of how we got into the system of Guru Shishya Parampara.
Like India. Wow. Quite a busy country. A lot of people. It's also not very dirty also. And this. And then, you know, everything is poor. And Bollywood. And
it was all about music. Yeah. And everything related to your world of music and my world of music.
I remember landing in Mumbai. I think it was 2nd of April 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew my mind. I had no idea like what a guru is, or the significance of a guru on a Shishya's life is something which I did not know nothing about it.
So there's a theme every year at Beethoven Fest.
Okay.
In 2018, the theme was Kismet.
I would say, if I'm historically correct, one of the very first ones who brought Indian music as it is to the West was Ravi Shankar ji, obviously.
You can integrate Kathak with so many forms of music without losing its essence.
Is that a Mangalsutra?
Yeah,
that's a Mangalsutra.
Oh, that's cute.
Like,
yeah, yeah. Three, two, one. Pause. Okay. And those 16 months, I remember saying this in a different documentary also. You realize that we genuinely are better together.
Yeah.
So, Shivani and Tilly, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having us here.
How did this amalgamation happen?
I think you should tell us.
Should I take this?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go part by part. I'll share some and you fill in the blanks. So, this all started in 2018 as a part of the Beethoven Fest. So, Beethoven Fest that happens in Bonn every year in the month of August and September has a special feature called the Campus Project, in which they integrate with a foreign country. In 2018, this international country was India, wherein five student-based young musicians come from Germany to this international country, do a musical exchange with the local musicians and dancers. And then now the local international students are invited to perform at the Beethoven Fest in Germany. So he, along with four other musicians and our mentor, Bernhard Schimpelsberger, was in India. In April, that's where we met. And then in September, the Indians came to Germany for the performances. That's where it clicked a little between us.
You also came back to Germany.
Yes, I came to Germany in September to perform. So okay. We did two performances, one in Bonn and in Berlin. So between April and September, there was crazy amounts of conversations between us just about music. He's a pop drummer. I'm an Indian classical dancer. He had tons of questions for me of how we got into the system of Guru Shishya Parampara, which was an integral part of his fascination for India. And I think you should talk about it more.
Well, for me, it was crazy because during this campus project, like Shivani described, it was the first time for me to really get in touch with, I would even say, not only Indian classical music, but moreover Indian culture. Because I was one, and I'm going completely all in this, I was this typical German who my entire knowledge of India was basically news.
Yeah. Oh.
That's it. I did not know anything about it. For me, the story, how I actually got into this project is kind of weird because I was not supposed to be there. I'm a pop drummer, like Giovanni said, so I studied pop drums, pop music. And this festival is a classic festival. It's in fact one of the biggest classical music festivals in Germany, maybe even Europe. And I have a classical background, but somehow my professor came to me and said, "Hey, Timon, listen, there's this thing happening, this event, the campus project, and they need an ensemble, and there are members in this ensemble which are too young. So can you fill in?" I'm like, okay, yeah, you learned tabla a little bit, right? Like we did some tabla stuff, and so you just jump in and you be a part of it, no worries. And well, from thinking, okay, India, he asked me like, okay, India, should I go there?
You just say whatever you said and thought at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Time.
it was really this. He asked me, okay, I'm saying it. My professor came to me, asked me, "Hey, what do you think? Do you want to do this project? And it's going to India for a week." I'm like, India, boah, quite a busy country, a lot of people. It's also not very dirty also, and this, and then, you know, everything is poor and Bollywood and typical stereotype German, like, brain about, right? But I was like, no, wait, all my mentors say I'm a student, I always keep a, you know, wide horizon, so why not? And that's how I came into this. And I did not know what, actually, I was a little bit afraid to go, not afraid, but like, let's see how it goes. And I remember landing in Mumbai, I think it was 2nd of April 2018,
mm-hmm.
and it blew my mind. Like, in every single way. And from that moment on, I knew somehow India will play a role in my life. And I don't know how and in what capacity, but in some odd way.
It's such a crazy destiny, coincidence, however we want to call it. So I feel usually parents or friends or either you yourself is responsible for finding your partner. For me and for us, it happened through our gurus. Because Bernhard Schimpelsberger is an Austrian-based percussionist, music composer who has learned Indian classical music and rhythm for the last a little over 20 years
yeah.
with our Guruji called Pandit Suresh Talwalkarji. I have also learned the intricacies of rhythm and lay from him. My Guruji, my Kathak Guruji, Pandita Shama Bhateji, also has a huge influence on Bernhard, because Bernhard learned Indian rhythms, how to play dance rhythms on the drums from my Guruji. And my Guruji is like a mentor to him. So when he got approached with the Beethoven Fest project, he wanted musicians and dancers from India. He contacted two people. Guruji, Suresh Talwalkarji for the musicians, and Shama Bhateji, my Guruji, for the dancers. I so clearly remember, this must be 15th of February. We were performing in Chennai, and then Tai asks us, so Bernie called a couple of days ago and there's this project happening in Germany. You guys have to go for 10 days. I don't know about the payment, this, that, but it's going to be a great opportunity and you'll be able to learn and perform with the National Youth Orchestra in Germany with Rakesh Chaurasia ji and Bernhard and this and that. So are you interested? And I'm like, am I interested? मतलब ये एक पैर पे मतलब क्या मैं आई स्टार्ट वॉकिंग टू जर्मनी दिस इज हैपनिंग इन फेब्रुअरी एंड माय कॉलीग एंड माय बैचमेट फ्रॉम मास्टर्स एट दैट टाइम एंड वी आर लुकिंग एट ईच अदर शी इज कॉल्ड भार्गवी वी डू इट राइट एंड वी आर लाइक ऑफ कोर्स वी डू इट विद जीरो इनहिबिशंस जस्ट फुल ऑफ एक्साइटमेंट कि बस ये करना है कट टू मीटिंग दीज फाइव म्यूजिशियंस एंड थिंकिंग वाओ दिस इज गोइंग टू बी समथिंग रियली रियली fascinating and interesting. So he fell in love with our guru.
Absolutely. For me the way I learned music was always like the concept of a mentor and a teacher is of course something which I always knew, but like you have to imagine we had a before going to India we had like an introduction round to like kind of like you know
do's and don'ts
in India. You know, you're five absolute Alman Germans and you're going to India, probably a country which has a billion times more culture than we will ever have, and is responsible for probably all the, in my opinion, a lot of good things in life, especially which are good for me. So I was always someone who was thriving for, you know, to learn from someone. But in this introduction round, Bernhard introduced us, you know, there's this guru, and his name is Suresh Talwalkar. You can call him Suresh. If you want, you can call him Suresh G. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go all in, you could call him Guruji. Guruji would be best. So I was like, okay, old guy, this and that. I had no idea, like, what a guru is, or the significance of a guru on a shishya's life is something which I had no, nothing. I did not know nothing about it. And so that phase started, and Bernhard also said, you know, when you are and you really want to go all in, was always this, like, if you really want to, but if you don't want to, you do this. If you really want to, you can meet him and touch his feet, which is a namaskar.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, let's see. And I remember coming, reaching in this beautiful venue,
NCPA.
The NCPA, yes, the National Performing...
National Center for Performing Arts,
right. And I remember entering this room, and there was something. There was an aura in this room, and I did not see him yet. And then I saw Guruji, and I wanted to kind of like do namaskar, but he just reached out with his hand with such a smile of like, hey, nice that you're here. He didn't say it, but like the vibe he had was like, welcome, and hey, let's do something together and learn and music and blah, 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 blah. So there was something which was really refreshing for me. And from that moment on, he stuck on to me. And we had so many moments of like really intense eye contact. First and foremost, very important of me not knowing what he's doing in terms of like this entire thing. Kai, what is that? What is a clapping pattern? What is taal? I did not know anything. And over time, I decided, you know what? I should learn this. I should go dig in. And then there are also these wonderful people. Shivani and I, till April 2018, were just friends. Like, not even friends, colleagues. We were chatting.
Mm-hmm.
Not even that. Like, we were just, you know, we were in touch, right?
It was all about music and everything related to your world of music and my world of music and how it is. I think between April and September, there was a lot of curiosity about each other's worlds through music.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was made very, very... It was inspiring to be with these people, I must say. We were there for 3 days. But the way they accepted Indian culture and their willingness to learn was so inspiring. And as an Indian, I find it very special. People coming, Saat Samundar Paar, they're coming.
Yeah, anywhere.
To a system which is extremely unknown to them, weather is something that is not supporting their lifestyle.
Mm.
Food is a big shock to them. Mm. And yet, all of them are just willing to learn, willing to give it their all and understand what this person is trying to transmit.
So what I'm trying to understand is that when you were coming to Bombay in April, you were just there for 3 days.
Like a week.
Yeah, okay.
Exchange happened for three days. So it was just the Indian students and German students with Bernard on day one.
Okay.
Where we just did like an ice-breaking session, warm-up session of what a clapping pattern is and what to expect in the next 2 days. The next morning on 5th...
So you guys were supposed to teach them or it was just a mix?
No, it was just a cultural... Okay. It was a mix. And we had... So the conductor, so to say, was Bernard.
Okay.
He was composing and bringing things together.
Okay.
And the idea was, so to say, to bring Indian and Western music together.
Bingo.
Since we
talked again... That we should talk about more importantly, or the concept of the project. And
The idea is basically, just in a brief form... since it's a classical festival, of course, they want to bring Beethoven to that kind of picture. And we talk about Bonn, the city of Beethoven, obviously. So Bernard had this idea to collaborate with...
So there's a theme every year at Beethoven Fest.
Okay.
In 2018, the theme was Kismet.
Oh.
And piece... and the piece that we did together... So in the performance, there were several pieces that we did. The most special, the premier piece was called Kismet with the National Youth Orchestra of Germany. 5 Indian musicians with 2 tabla players, 1 pakhavaj player, 2 kathak dancers, 5 German musicians, Bernard himself and Rakesh Chaurasiyaji on the flute.
Okay.
So
percussion with dancers.
Percussion, dancers, orchestra, full-blown orchestra with around 50 people.
Okay.
The Indian flute.
Yeah.
The pop drums, the Indian dancing, some all Indian together. Rhythm, all together.
Wow. Okay.
It was like a 10-minute piece, which was the highlight of...
And you were dancing in that?
We were dancing in it. He was playing
percussion. So then how did this music thing come into
This music
play?
Was composed by Bernard himself, with a lot of influence from his colleagues and our Gurujis, and how we created it together. So in April, we had this first session where we decided what the Indians would do, what the Germans would do, and what we all would do together.
Yeah.
In August, he came again
to
work on this piece called Kismat.
Mm.
And now we're thinking, really, Kismat? This is the piece? So this was the theme. He called his piece also Kismat.
Yeah.
And we premiered it in Bonn for the first time. As an Indian dancer, you also know this. Yeah. When you dance, you're expected to get an applause.
100%.
And that keeps you, in a way, on track of your performance.
Keep going,
because you know how the audience is receiving
it.
You get a lifetime, real-time feedback. In Germany, that's not the case.
Oh.
They wait till the end.
Yeah.
In this piece, where the first piece that we did the first tukra, you know, nice spins, tatkar, this and that pose.
Yeah.
Are koi talia nahi? And it's a full-packed audience of the WCC. I don't remember the full form of WCCB. Beautiful hall in Bonn. No, koi talia nahi. Koi gal na. Show must go on. You keep on brewing.
Mm.
We ended this piece of 3-4 minutes and the applause that we got.
Uh-huh.
And how. Which made me realize, as I was dancing, of course, as a dancer, you say ki yahan jab perform karte to you forget everything. Audience mein kaun baitha hai. It's a little quiet. Sometimes you have to keep that awareness on. You take your light. You're aware if your costume is still fitting, microphone kaha hai, your spots and everything. So the whole time I had this feeling ki, what is happening? I am really enjoying myself, but am I able to reach? Am I able to make? Am I able to transmit this? And after 5 minutes, when we got this feedback with this thunderous applause, it felt like we didn't use words. We just used our movement.
Hmm.
Two dancers just dancing in red costumes for 5 minutes and making such an impact.
Hmm.
This is not because of me. This is not because of how I'm looking and what I'm dancing.
Hmm.
This is all because of the form that I'm presenting, which made me feel that Kathak has a lot of scope here. Kathak is welcomed here, and Kathak is something that it is and should reach as many lives as possible.
Yeah. But I want to also understand, how did you get into reciting the taal?
So Padhant is an integral part of Kathak as an art form, which is very unique to Kathak in the other Indian classical forms also, wherein the dancer is expected to recite what they're going to perform.
Yeah.
Which is not there in other dance forms.
I mean, Bharatanatyam also has it.
But you don't expect the Bharatanatyam dancer to go herself or themselves to the microphone, recite the piece and then come and dance it.
Okay, like
there
that.
There is a guru or a Nattuvangam artist who is keeping the taal for you, keeping the meter and making sure that the musicians are aware of what you are performing.
Okay.
And giving you the vocal support.
Yeah.
Now, in Kathak dance, if I'm dancing composition XYZ, then I have to recite composition XYZ
before
first.
And then
right.
Okay.
Somehow, as an art form, I was very attracted to Konakon. As a young girl of 7 or 8 years old, my first Guruji's husband, Mr. Hemant Makkar, Shri Hemant Makkar, he invested me in me a lot with all of these compositions, and that became a flair. And since then, I took it up. And I found this passion.
Yeah.
I kept on pursuing it.
So side by side, you were also reciting and dancing. Both of them were going side by side.
So I wouldn't call it a different form. I think they're
together.
Together. Because Padhant is one aspect of the big ocean of Kathak. I think in the last 1 year, my connection to Konakol has increased multifolds. Why it happened? It happened on stage during a performance last year, where I was in India after 2 years of living in Germany, performing at a solo festival of my parent institute, Nadroop. Because Kathak started as a solo dance form. But now the scene has changed a little. It has gotten a lot of more choreographic elements involved. People don't want to watch one dancer. They want to watch a bigger ensemble.
Yeah.
Right? So the solo nuances of Kathak are getting lost. To bring back that element, our institute decided to do a solo festival of 3 days with solo performances of 30 to 40 minutes each, which is extremely rare to happen, not just in Germany, but even in India.
Yeah.
During that performance, I would say around 7 or 8 minutes into the performance, I felt like a snap on my knee. I can't describe wo snap tha ya kya tha ya twist tha or whatever. I'm taking a chakkar, I'm spinning, and I'm realizing that my legs are not supporting me anymore. So in Kathak, you have to keep your feet as touch to the ground and you close your toes like this to create a vacuum. I'm feeling that my toe is not touching the ground at all. I'm not feeling my legs. They're doing something of their own. My body is bodying. And I just finished that piece. And between pieces, there are pauses where you can go in the wings where you ask your tabla player to play a solo piece. In that time, I'm figuring out that I'm not able to move. The show must go on. I have literally come all the way for this festival. I'm preparing for over 6 months. I haven't performed in my home country for over 2 years. My guru hasn't seen me perform after I have left. So it's not just about proving, it's also about giving your seva, you know, offering your contribution to your guru as a token of thank you. And in that process, I am stuck. My body that is my instrument, is not supporting me. What do I do? I had one option of canceling the show and telling my artist that I'm not able to move. But somehow, Bhagwan ki krupa, master ki krupa, guruo ki krupa, some adrenaline rush, I must say, I went with the show. I improvised a lot. Bahut sari cheeze maine change ki. Thankfully, I had a very good connection with my padant artist, who's also a colleague of mine. And she could understand, my musicians could understand that something's different, something's not happening according to the score that we had decided, and we kept on improvising. And in that performance, what I did was, I recited every composition before I performed because I needed that stamina break. I was not able to perform back to back, ek ke baad ek char compositions. My body was not supporting. The show had to go on. So what I thought, her composition I will recite. That gives me some break. That gives me the power to express what I have to, at least with my voice, if not with my body. And during that performance, I feel my padhant got more dad than the dance. So my voice supported me. Wo bolte na ki wo naya paar ho gayi us show ki. So much so that my mother didn't realize ki iske ghutne mein kuch hua hai. That is why she's not dancing this much. She's like, acha, in this tukda you used to jump a lot, na ye takadilang mein jump kyun nahi kiya? So I thought ki, maybe shayad thak gayi hogi, ya riyaz kam hoga ya nahi. And I'm like, nahi, I was not able to move. I'm crying in the wings. Colleagues are very, very supportive who are massaging this and that. So from that performance on, cut to why my passion and connection with Konakol increased was through this performance.
We saw that there was a decline in folk culture in India, and then there has been a rise again. So what do you feel about that though?
So for example, in when it comes to this fusion or amalgamation of Indian classical elements, let's say, if it's North or South Indian, doesn't matter, and Western music culture, I think, of course, first of all, let's break, you know, a torch for the torchbearers who initiated everything, which is, of course, I would say, if I'm historically correct, one of the very first ones who brought Indian music as it is to the West was Ravi Shankarji, obviously, with his tabla player, Alaraka Khan Sahib. And they played Woodstock, the Woodstock Festival, in 19, I think it was the 69, 67, I'm not sure. And you have to imagine, we talk about one of the most famous rock and pop festivals in the world. And there are two Indian guys, middle-aged men, sitting on stage and blowing everyone's mind. So that was something where I felt, okay, I saw this performance on YouTube and I was like, no way. This seems like it was yesterday and it's some pop festival and exactly someone like Miley Cyrus is playing. But no, it's Raviji and Abhaji and these people just go nuts to them. And then, of course, with Raviji being with the Beatles and then this entire thing. And then Shakti happened. With John G and Zakibai, obviously. And I think, first of all, this this was a fusion which was meant to happen. Because I felt even if in the moment when Indian classical music, North or South Indian, doesn't matter, goes into the Western world, there's always fascination. And it's not because oh exotic or oh hippie and yoga and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's really the art form speaking for itself. I'm 100% sure of that. And then with the people who came after that, like Shakti, I believe I forget a billion people who were actually responsible for how this fusion happened, like Trilogy. Bernard plays a huge role in this as well, I must say. Our Guruji, who was responsible for really bringing this concept of bands into Indian classical music. There's this band called Talyatra, where you see on Indian stages, when did they start? 20, 30 years ago?
Absolutely. I must add, my Guruji, she was the first one to integrate Kathak with jazz. Now we say Kathak and flamenco, Kathak and this, Kathak and that. She was the one who brought Kathak with jazz in the 90s, in the 2000s, into Europe.
Mm.
So I feel what we are doing right now is just an extension of the inspiration that has been laid to us by the people who have had a similar inspiration of bringing Indian music to the rest of the world.
But what I do want to understand is the statement that you just said, it has like pros and cons, or at least that's how it's sounding to me, that was it necessary for her to do this mix of Kathak and jazz because nobody was taking the classical music so or the folk era so seriously?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Mm.
Because Kathak as an art form, I mean, I'm going to speak more from the side of a Kathak dancer right now, because that's something I relate to the most. As an art form, it's so malleable.
Mm.
It's so ductile. I mean, it feels like I'm describing a metal.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you can integrate Kathak with so many forms of music without losing its essence, which is the main aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do Kathak to a Bollywood song right now? Can I play a folk? Can I play a Chaudhary and dance Kathak to it? Yes, I can. Am I losing the integrity and the authenticity of Kathak by doing so? Yes. The idea is to, I mean, I'm talking about why my Guruji would have wanted to do this with jazz. The idea is to maintain the authenticity of Kathak and integrate the core elements of Kathak's malleability and its ability to fuse with different musical forms, fuse with different art forms without losing the Kathak-ness, so to say, in it. Mm-hmm. That is the beauty. And when that is able to reach out to people, people forget why it started from. Then people look at the result, what is being offered.
So as someone who's professionally in it, what is the fine line that you see that would not let us lose the absolute authenticity of let's just say Kathak, but still allow it to have that fusion?
Well, this, I think, is going to be a podcast in itself, because Kathak is a traditional art form. It's a classical art form. Tradition is everything that flows, which in itself means that you have to break open from the guidelines that you have given. But how to do that and how much can you break comes in with a lot of study of the form itself for 20 years, 15 years.
But is that subjective?
Yes. 100%. That's why I'm saying it's such a tricky topic, and I cannot give you a one-word answer. I cannot say that to make... If you ask me how to keep the integrity of dal bati, I will say ki haan wo aata achha na chahiye, ghee achha na chahiye, this and that. Because it's something that can be measured. It's something that can be quantified. With this, I cannot give you an answer, because it's such a broader and deeper and wider topic. And what happens is, it has also become like a fast food industry.
Yeah.
People would want to get satiated in a 30-second reel. Nobody has the patience to be on their phone for 3 minutes. Nobody has the time. Nobody has the inspiration to buy a ticket, go to a concert, and sit there for 40 minutes and watch one dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So now what do the dancers do? They bring their audience to their screens. How to do it? Instagram says, no, you have to keep the audience engaged. How do I keep them engaged? You give them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what they want? You just go with the trend and then you just keep on going with the flow. And that is the easiest way. Going with the flow is the easiest way to lose your ground.
Yeah. So now another question for you is that the wave that came and went and now has come back again of classical music in India, why do you think that happened?
I wouldn't call it as a wave. As somebody who is in it, I feel it's there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel that it is a wave, I'm not going to negate this fact. Because how I see Indian classical music in India is going to be... Indian classical music and dance.
Mm.
In India is going to be extremely different than an outsider would. Who is not pursuing it on a daily basis.
Yeah, definitely.
So I wouldn't call it in waves.
Yeah.
What's happened, I feel, is... Wo Hindi mein saying hai na, the grass is greener on the other side. Mm. Ya ghar ki murki dal barabar. Now when the world is celebrating International Yoga Day on 21st of June, everybody is realizing ki haan, humko bhi Surya Namaskar karna hai. But where did it start from?
Uh-huh.
I remember my grandmother telling this to me every day.
Uh-huh.
But did we listen at that time? No, I still didn't.
I think it's in terms of popularity, obviously it has, in terms of, there are two popularities to look at too. How I feel and how I recognize it, even though I'm just in it for the last 6-7 years, so I don't have a study.
Hmm.
But
see, this has changed now. Before, if he had he not known about this Guru Shishya Parampara thing and this system of learning, he would think 7 years is a good enough time. It's a
long
time,
yeah.
No,
but still, just being in this system has changed everything.
Yeah.
You need a lifetime.
There is not one single day that we don't think of our gurus. Hand to my heart.
Yeah.
When we tell this to them, they in a way will think or feel ki haan, ye to bolne ki baat hai, but I stand by it.
Mm-hmm.
Not one day goes without thinking of them. And why them? Not just because of the people that they are, but the form that they have been pursuing, the energy that they've been transmitting, not just to... Now, if I see it in the Indian ethos, I will find it more relatable. But him?
Yeah.
If a person like him who found India to be so, this and that.
Yeah.
It changed in 3 days, my goodness.
Yeah.
And I want to say I was in Mumbai. Mumbai is also not the most loving city in the world. So I feel really, for me, what I remember of Mumbai is just, of course, you see things you might have not seen before. But everything for me just got overwhelmed positively by just... the culture, the food, the people, the people I met, the I don't know, the weather, things like this.
Yeah.
And you don't think about that, you know, maybe I should, may or may not wear a mask because the air is maybe not a little bit polluted. You don't even think about this when you're there.
Where are you from in Germany?
I was born in Hagen-Hohenlimburg, which is a ugly-ass town in this area to the north, basically. It's a 1.5 hours away from Cologne. And I was brought up in Iserlohn.
Okay.
My brothers will hate me. It's actually called Iserlohn.
Okay.
But I will forever say Iserlohn. Very important.
For me, it sounds the
okay,
same.
Okay, cool.
So, that's my idea of Germany.
So. Nice. Yeah, perfect.
And where are you from?
I'm born in Indore.
Okay.
And then I studied, I did my schooling in Indore till I was 18. Then to learn the intricacies of Kathak, I moved to Pune and I did my bachelor's in psychology there.
Okay.
Then I did my master's in Kathak. I mean, that psychology is,
It
was a degree, so to say, just as a backup degree. And all my time was just at Nadrup learning from my Guruji. And then this wonderful thing happened to me.
Yes.
To us in 2018. We were still studying. I was still doing, it was my final year ka master's.
How old are you guys?
Yaar, he's born on 10 September 95. I'm born on 13 September 96. Okay. My grandfather, the father of my father, is born on 10 September.
Oh.
And my mother wanted me to be born on 10.
I want to make sure I'm still 29.
Yeah, me too for the next few weeks. Yeah. Okay. I am dying already.
so meant to be, matlab kitna. My mother wanted me to be born on 10th September.
Okay, I want to clear it out there that these two wonderful people are married.
Correct.
And I...
4 years.
Yes.
See, I wear rings. Two I times. Don't like to wear a Mangalsutra. And I mean, look at that.
Yes.
This is something here.
Is that a Mangalsutra?
Yeah, class.
That's a Mangalsutra.
Oh, that's cute.
That's.
See? I mean, we thought a little lovey-dovey side to it.
No, yeah, obviously. We need that a little bit.
So our wedding was, we were also very, in a way, very practical. We got married during the pandemic.
Acha.
Ekdam peak.
Oh, yeah. Pandemic young umar season. Mein, matlab, when you guys were so young?
We were 20, I was 25, he was 26.
Yeah,
well, can I put, really, there was one key moment in that where you know or, no, you will know if it's meant to be when you spend 16 months apart from each other. Because that was basically the time you have to imagine. I spent till date.
Is that a scientific thing?
It's just 16 months of the pandemic.
I was like, oh, so we have to like stay away from somebody for 16 months to see that.
So basically what happened is I spent, I don't know, a lot of time in India. And there was one phase where I was in India for half a year from October 2019 till March 2020.
His flight was the last one to leave from India. Correct. 19th or 20th March ko wo flight gayi aur 21 ya 22 March ko apan wo tali aur thali baja rahe the.
Exactly. And we all know then what happened in 2020. Yeah, Corona hit us all. Lockdown. And we were like, cool, back to long distance. We know how that works. We know what we have to do. FaceTime was on 24/7. We always had two phones. One was always on with FaceTime, where we spent all our time on.
24/7, I mean, this literally FaceTime falling mere, asleep it was Zoom on at that time or Zoom one-on-one.
No, Zoom FaceTime, we were always quite liquid about it.
We watched, I mean, so the Netflix and this, we worked. In the pandemic, we started working a lot.
We used to do these things like watching entire series, like always, like
three, two, one, pause.
And then, because I always had a delay, because then I had to stay later. But Jesus Christ, we had so many things.
Crazy things, no? Then he started just teaching me German.
This integration of I love it. Okay.
Okay.
I have
noted.
Yeah. Because a lot of my African friends are constantly making fun of me because they're like, "Are," like, you know. And I'm like, yeah, now all the white people will say "Are" now.
Yeah, so basically, then with that...
We started working in the pandemic. We started making music.
My point is, when you are not with someone, and this goes to all the long-distance people here, yeah? When you are not with someone, the longer you spend time apart from each other, the more you know if it's meant to be or not.
Yeah.
It's actually the time apart which will make you realize if it's what it is or
and
not.
And in a time when you don't know when you're able to see the other again.
Correct. We don't know what's going to happen.
The world didn't know what is going to happen with the virus. We didn't know how long this pandemic is going to stretch.
We didn't know when
borders are going to be open.
Yeah.
And if so, do I just go as a tourist and stay with him for 6 months? Am I even allowed to do that?
Hmm.
Oh, such a crazy time this 16-month pandemic was
for
us. But it really inspired us to create a lot of music.
Okay.
Yeah.
We made a lot of music together. We shot on different devices and figured out our ways of how to optimize music making in a loud Indian country.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a lot of equipment at that time, and everything was so all of a sudden. No, people weren't prepared for the pandemic.
And yet
we thought, our art is still with us.
Mm-hmm.
My dance is still with me. People are not able to go out to their offices to work, but I can stand here and dance. I can go on the terrace and dance.
Mm.
And thankfully, my neighbors during the pandemic were also very supportive.
Mm.
So it really inspired us to get to know one another better.
Okay.
And those 16 months, I remember saying this in a different documentary also. We realized that we genuinely are better together.
Yeah.
It felt like a part of me is missing when I'm in India without him. I'm not going to say I hope it's the same for him. Because ho gayi shaadi ab. We got married twice. We got married in the pandemic with just 5 people, including us. The German family could not come down to India.
Yeah.
My brother could not come down from the US. So we thought, ki, let's make it a legal wedding.
Mm.
2 years later, my mother was able to come down to Germany.
Mm.
My brother was visiting us. That is when our families met one another.
Mm-hmm.
2 saal baad. Till then, he had met the entire Indian side, because when he was in India for the long 6-month phase, there was a family wedding,
oh,
a cousin's wedding.
Best.
So I'm like, best. Chalo mere yeah. saath. And at that time, everybody is like,
this, that. I really love it how they're obsessed with like white skin sometimes.
It still is. You know what?
It
still
I love
is.
It. I can't
You know,
even
people
lie.
Stand. He. You have to do this impression. Tilak Road, main Tilak
Are
Road.
Can I do it?
Yeah, you
okay,
do
sorry,
it.
Sorry, sorry. So they're like, let's say, I think we were responsible for, let's say, the risk of someone else's life.
Okay.
Yeah, so to say, because they were countless encounters
yeah.
where basically you set up somewhere in Pune, super busy, bike,
yeah.
phone,
yeah.
and then seeing me in the rear view.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, guy? and he's going like, what's 50, 60 miles? Or I don't know.
Yeah, and he's no, super so tall. He's what, 6'1"? I am hardly 5.
Uh-huh.
So
like nice,
we look like this.
Pep up, like
Jaya
like this right
Bachchan
now. I was like, I was wearing what, kurta and then chappals.
And then he goes a little half Indian desi. You know what I mean? Something like
which
this.
Which I love. I know. My brother's girlfriend, she's American, okay? So whenever she comes to visit us, it's a fiesta.
It's amazing.
I love it. And
it's
as like
amazing.
A external viewer, I enjoy it. So we had like a school reunion and she wore a sari. She's like, I want to wear a sari.
Star.
She's white and
yeah,
she
yeah.
was wearing a red color sari. Okay. She was shining. Okay. And our school is, I'm not really boasting about it because I don't want to, but is an elite school of Delhi. Okay. And we go there and the teachers don't care. Like, they don't give 2 shits about me or my brother. They're like, where is she from? So then they'll go and talk to her. They'll be like, my son also in the States, you know. And then they start talking. Oh, she's so nice. Oh, where is she? Are you guys living together? Are you guys married?
Perfect. And perfect. I love
there
that.
Still is
it's
this
so
fascination.
Fun.
And it's not like a small city fascination.
No, it's
everywhere.
Everywhere.
So we live in Nanded city. It's like a huge township in Pune.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to social media, a couple of times. So he's going to the community center to get some
mm-hmm.
veggies and stuff. And now the
social media, money, community hall, huh? That's how people get to move. To get
Aray,
to
yaar, let me finish mm-hmm. the story.
Okay,
no? So now the vegetable vendor is able to recognize him. Yeah, he's coming
Best.
Down from the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
The four elevators, aise char wale hain. Mm-hmm. One opens and there's the girl standing in front of him. You're Shivani's boyfriend, right? And he's like, I very much am. Soon to be husband, fiance already. Who are you? Oh, I follow you. And I'm so happy you're in
yeah,
India
yeah.
for the wedding. I remember we were at this Joshi Sweets, my goodness. Joshi Sweets corner. And again, so.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody yeah. recognized us. This trip also.
Yeah.
So I would say Instagram, not just social media, I think Instagram and the Connor Calls reels that we did
yeah.
really got some attention.
Yeah.
I am guessing, wo kya bolte hain usko? Trend, stats, algorithm.
Hmm.
Thank you. Algorithm. Usme kitna algorithm tha, kya tha, I don't know. I still feel it is the fascination of a white-looking
skin.
Man
doing something.
Doing
yeah.
An Indian art form and reciting these crazy abstract syllables
mm-hmm.
which a lot of Indians also cannot recite.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
That
yeah.
became like a
mm-hmm.
USP
mm-hmm.
for people.
Yeah. So you guys are very cute and very much in love and you've mixed like 2 things together, professional and your personal life. So I want advice from like both of you, like a few advices for anybody out there. Like one, how do you know when someone is the one? And secondly, like how to get through in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Oy. These are all very mature and deep questions.
Shall I start?
Are we even eligible to answer those?
I think we are, yes.
Chalo.
Well, for as much as we know, let's say, in our example, what we can say, since our relationship has has been a long distance relationship literally from the beginning. And we were kind of thrown into it. So we had to learn and find measures very quickly how to survive in that. Mm-hmm. And for us, the question if this will work out or not was not really a question. It was more like, let's see where this journey will bring us. Let's try it. Because anyways, this will only work if destiny is on our side. Because the fact that I could come to India to learn and her, like our Guruji is in the same town like her, so I can actually spend time with my future wife, then that she can come to Germany to perform, collaborations with other people. Everything was under the umbrella of destiny, absolutely not planned, and actually not really worked for in terms of, okay, we have to do this now so that this happens. Everything kind of came flown to us, which was nice, which helped us, and which actually from episode to episode, so to say, or from timestamp to timestamp, it got more clear that, you know what? Let's see. So my advice is actually, especially for people in long distance relationship, try not to set each other deadlines or like, hey, we should do this. Just try to give yourself as much freedom to go with the flow and not thinking about anything. But how to make the long distance work? Because long distance, let's say, for us was a good indicator. Okay, if that works, and if we can spend some time together also, then you know what? Maybe we can take it up a notch, so to say. And through relationships, especially in an interracial context where actually both of us don't speak our mother tongue in the relationship, like my mother tongue is German, your mother tongue is Hindi. Yes, of course, English second language, school, blah, blah, blah. My English was horrible. There's an entire story to that also. But I feel... be aware from the point on you are together that there will be, I don't know what to call it. In German, it's called Fettnäpfchen. What is Fettnäpfchen in English? Like you step into, like stepping into a puddle of, damn it, I did something wrong. Like these.
Daldal mein jana.
Daldal mein jana.
Like for example, I don't know, you know, not sit with spread legs in front of a god, for example. Like things like this, like literally these little cultural differences,
yeah.
Be ready that mistakes will happen all the time. Mm-hmm. We are 4 years married all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. I try to learn, and she tries to learn with, of course, like German habits or like whatever a German habit is. But this adjusting, I just can say, give each other as much time as possible and be ready that these little puddles, let's say, might become smaller from day to day, but they're never gone. I'm sure of that.
Yeah. That was sweet. Building on that.
What's yours?
I'd say don't put a name on it until just because you want to do it. Try and understand the person for who they are without putting a label on that equation. You call somebody your boyfriend and then you go according to how a standard boyfriend is expected to behave. Now, this standard boyfriendiness is going to be different for an Indian boyfriend. It's going to be different for a German boyfriend. I'm just talking for our case right now. Of course, we've had relationships before we've met one another, before we got married. Always try and understand the person for who they are. That is the biggest tip, suggestion I would give in not just in a romantic relationship, but for anything else that is something I feel... learned with him because of his culture, because of the way he's been brought up.
Oh, well, you do have an opportunity to ask me a question if you have any. And then...
Good question. Oh, Dad.
In the very long association that we've had.
Absolutely. I mean, I know so much about your journey, why you do this and what inspires you to connect with people.
Yes.
That is the main question. What inspires you to connect with people and know their stories? And in turn, how do their stories influence you and your further life ahead? Okay. Your professional life ahead also.
While the first question has been asked a lot, I'm very, very happy that you asked me the second question. I just feel like the kind of person that I am not only a social butterfly, but I have two very big springs on my butt. It is very, very, very impossible for me to like stay at one place, which is why when someone asks me, what is your home? It's not only Delhi, it's not only Hamburg, it's Berlin and Bonn. And everywhere I go, I feel like I have a set of people that I want to meet. And when I meet people and I hear stories, I feel like struggle is one, inspiration is one, but I have a big awe of people who step outside the boundary and do something for themselves, which is not really something particular that they're meant to do. Either the line is made for them because of geography or because of society or because of culture, religion, gender, anything. But when they step out of that line, I think it is very inspirational for me. And I want to let those stories come out because it is the right time for people to start talking about it and for anybody in this world to make a change and not be afraid. I think that is the thing. Like, you're always like someone in a very small village is sitting out there being like, I want to make the difference, but I'm really scared. Maybe there's no one else there like me. And then you see something. Let's just say someone sees a podcast and they're like, I actually love dancing. And I see Shivani and she's doing great work internationally. And maybe that is my inspiration to be like her one day. And that is the idea of connecting people together. And I'm very much obsessed with being having a lot of attention as well. I'm always the main buff in any room. But at the same time, all the attention that I get, I feel like I want to spread it. I'm a very, I'm a person that will always help you. I think everyone in this world has a space for themselves. So I don't have anything to be insecure about. If I'm good at something, I will always be good at it. And someone can be better, someone can be worse, but nobody can replace me. And once everyone has that attitude, we'll stop hating on each other. And I think that's the inspiration that I have.
Well said.
Thank you for asking me that question. And now the last question that I ask all my guests, what is the advice that you have for anybody who wants to go beyond the border?
There's so many, really. Things like absolute standard ChatGPT answer, maybe. Don't overthink it. Mm-hmm. Just literally do it and go with this instinct. And I think I heard this, what I said in a billion other interviews, but that's for me the crux. It's like this being your own executive producer. Like, try to, whatever is in your head, try to make it happen. Because also very cheesy, but very true, when you give 100% attention to it, it will happen. I would say 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd say be aware of why you are wanting to break out of your comfort zone, why you're wanting to cross borders. Once you have that awareness, I believe your willingness to give up of what you came from, what you had before, increases and makes you go in with a blank slate. So again, this is also something that people share all the time. Go open without any expectations. Go with a blank slate, this and that. To do that also, if you're trying to make yourself a part of the system, first try and understand the system where you're going into. Understand why you're wanting to come out of your own system. And then be willing to give it your all. Language, weather, culture. And most importantly, step out, talk to people in the real world, in this new system. And those people will give you the inspiration to keep on going. This I share with my personal experiences in Germany. I think I've had really extreme experiences from great to worse and also somewhere in between. What worked for me the most was the willingness to learn. And somehow the strength to leave the Indianness aside of thinking, I am entitled to this. I am entitled to this privilege. I am entitled to getting this. You have to work your life on your own terms. And be willing to lose that pride and that ego that you came in from, that acquired luxury that you were born with.
Thank you so much. Do you have something to say?
I just want to add one thing, because it's funny. Shivani and I are in terms of how we go about things, actually a little different in terms of we had this
very different.
This typical counterpart thing of I'm a more gutsy person and don't think about overthinking is for me basically the worst thing. And she's a more brainy person, very checked out, but also the tendency to overthinking is more there, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And what I can, from the point of view of someone who always usually acts out of guts, is I think this journey for me, I never had the intention to break this border. Like, I never had this, this is my goal. I will go to India. I will make music. I will marry an Indian national. Then we go to Germany. I did not have all this.
But this was the first initiation that happened.
That's how we're doing. My reason that I was breaking a border, or maybe still am, was the passion itself. And I think once, and that's basically something finding your own voice, when you find your passion, you don't see borders only. You just thrive on this river which you made for yourself. And this thing takes you literally wherever you don't even think it would. Like, it's your own river, but you don't know where it flows. And it's so awesome. So I think breaking a border without a passion in your mind can be really more technical and challenging. But I think with this flame in your body, why would I play a Peshgar on the drum set, for God's sake? Why would I do that? Because of my passion to the instrument and this guru which was standing in front of me clapping a Rupak Tal in front of me for 30 minutes straight. And this was it. Because of that, everything happened. And try to have a passion. Try to enlighten
something.
So
this actually comes down to where we started this podcast with, of how music brought us together and how music influenced us. And it again comes down to that.
Full circle. Yeah. Made a full
it
circle.
It is a full circle.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for staying until the end. To help us continue these conversations, please subscribe on YouTube and like and follow on Instagram and Spotify.